Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert. And today we are going to be talking about brokenness, wounds, and healing, which is not always a fun topic and also a topic a lot of us want to ignore. We don't want to deal with. We don't really want to face, or maybe things in our past. And I know for me and my own personal experiences, I would just stuff as much as I could away and just not think about it. And I used to think it wouldn't affect my life. It wasn't a big deal. If I could just stuff it down far enough, I could just leave it alone and it would leave me alone. And that was that. And that was the big lie that I gave myself. And it really, truly wasn't until I let Jesus into those wounds and I had to go back into my past and bring all of those things up again, that I truly could become the woman God was calling me to be, because I needed that healing process to happen. But without that, I honestly don't even know where I would be right now. But because of that process that I went through, I have more courage. I have more strength of God inside of me. I have the grace knowing that even though something is scary or feel fearful or hard or unknown, or we don't know what the future is going to hold, there is just this trust and this confidence that God has given me in Him, because I've really gone through it with Him already, right? And so today with my guest is Melissa Foley. We are really going to hit on some of these topics and how you can heal, what you need to do to start your healing process. And she runs a beautiful healing ministry, and she has a website called Loved Already. And I know she leads Beloved Retreats as well, that have been a tremendous help in so many women's lives. And we'll also get into maybe some tools and things that you could do in those moments when you're struggling and you're having that hard time, or maybe the lies and the things that you're telling yourself that you are not. That's going to be huge. So without further ado, let's get into it with Melissa Foley. Okay, ladies, here we are with the beautiful Melissa Foley. Welcome. Thank you for being here. It is such a pleasure and honor to have you here on Woman Made New.
Thank you. I feel as though it's an honor also. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, Melissa. Now, for those of you that don't know Melissa and aren't familiar with her work, just like I am, she is a huge advocate for healing and to really embrace your healing process and just letting Jesus go to those places that half the time we don't want to show Him. A lot of the time we think that we're hiding from the world and even think we're hiding from God, when we're not hiding it from Him in any way, shape, or form. And Melissa has the most unbelievable ministry that just specifically is about healing of the whole person. Melissa, will you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and maybe I can start with that I am someone that was the beneficiary of quite a bit of healing. So it's not coming from me as somebody who's read some books or something. You know, I've had to do the hard work, and I know you have too.
Yes.
So it really comes from a place in my heart that I have experienced what it feels like to be loved in places that are tender, places that hurt, and also in good places too, right? So we can also be healed through very positive things. So my journey began when I was very young. I was born into a Protestant family, and my parents were divorced by the time I was five because my father was an alcoholic and just could not beat the disease. And so my parents were divorced, and that led to a lot of woundedness, to be honest with you. The alcoholism and the separation and many other things and situations in between there really led to quite a bit of woundedness that I really didn't know was there, to be honest with you. Maybe you experienced this too, Crystalina, but as I got older, and it wasn't really until I got married that things started to compound. And I was having a harder and harder time keeping a lid on these emotions and these feelings and this hurt that coming out in these really irrational ways.
While you're in marriage and you go deeper into marriage, the less, like, you don't recognize yourself. You're like unrecognizable to yourself because all of these things are coming up and you're just like, what is going on? I don't understand this emotion. I don't understand why I'm doing this. I don't understand why this is happening. And it's just, then you feel weak in your marriage, right? And then you start playing into the weaknesses and insecurities.
Absolutely. And you can only point a finger for so long, to be honest with you, right?
And you really want to be like, Jason, what is this? Why is that? And da, 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 and I'm blaming him. And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That really wasn't Jason. That really wasn't the right response to that. It was like, whoa, okay, get the reins, Crystalina. And I just had to like go sit down with Jesus in adoration and be like, what's going on with me? You know, because like you say, when you left your father, okay, and you left that situation that was done in your life, it's like you don't realize the wounds that you're bringing with you. Like, you're this wounded person and you're thinking, oh, I'll just leave that behind. I'll just stuff my stuff and put some lipstick on it and just keep going. It's going to be fine because I'm free now. I'm not under that tyranny anymore, right? I'm not under those problems anymore. And then you go out into the real world and you're with yourself and these wounds, and they just bubble up in different ways. But I honestly think marriage, for some reason, it's just, wow, everything just bubbles to the surface. And for me, it was after I had children, especially. It really came to the surface. So when that is happening in your own experiences, what should women do? What would you suggest happens? And how can they recognize it? Because a lot of women like to just blame it on the circumstance, the person, or maybe things that have happened to them, but they just kind of blow it off. What would you suggest they do?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, it does take a while of finger pointing, whether that's to your spouse, to your parents, to other people that you find in your life that are stirring up arguments and disagreements in your life is a really good place to start. Now, I want to suggest something that is actually, it's a new angle, okay, of looking at this. It's a new angle. And the angle is that when the lid starts coming off, let's say in a marriage, and you really are struggling, you're finding
everybody does that, okay? Totally. Everybody struggles. So we're talking to everybody, all the ladies out there.
That's
married,
exactly,
because nobody's
right.
Marriage is perfect. It does have its struggles, no matter who you are.
Definitely does. Yeah. And this, I'm about ready to tell you the secret sauce. Okay.
Wow. When it comes for that.
I know, right?
I think everybody is like, turn it up.
Listen very carefully.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the angle. Okay. The way this healing works is that God will allow feelings to bubble up to the surface. Now, he utilizes those feelings can come from a variety of ways. So when we get into an argument, that's why starting with arguments is a really good place to begin, because it's very clear. We are arguing over this, whatever, fill in the blank. What I would suggest is that you look at the emotion that you're experiencing behind the argument. Not so much what you're arguing about, because 99% of the time it has nothing to do with the dishes in the dishwasher or whatever. You know, what is happening is that you're experiencing an emotion that is coming that God allows, because he has to go back through that emotion in order to heal it. So instead of what we typically do is, when we argue, we say, well, you did this. And he says, well, you did that and you did this, and it escalates, right? Well, when you look at it from this, when you look at it from a different angle, like, wait a second, God is giving me a moment to reflect on, what is he trying to heal in me? What's he trying to heal in me? When you ask that question, the argument settles. You can say, I just need a minute. Like you said in the beginning, I need a minute with Jesus to talk about this, to go back and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to heal in me? And praying through the feeling that you're having and praying back to, when was the first time you felt that feeling? And when we go through a process with our Lord, back to the source, when that piece is healed, you are set free from the pain of that emotion. So it doesn't come up again in the same way over and over and over again in your marriage, because you can, or in any relationship, you can look back and say, we fight about that same exact thing. You know, pretty much we all have those same exact fights that we go over, over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. It's the Spirit's way of saying, hey, I can help you with that. Hey, invite me in there. Hey,
it's like, hello.
I want to set you free.
I like how you say that. Hey. Hello. But it's true. I do see, because I went through this really intense 3-year healing process. And of course, you're never just 100% fully healed. Like it's a continual thing, but there were those 3 years that were so intense that I did such deep work and that God healed such wounds that I was carrying around that I didn't even realize that I had. Mm-hmm. That when I did come back to the marriage and after that process, the fights weren't as extreme, or the anger wasn't mm-hmm. as intense. So I think that's what Melissa's getting at, is that it's not going to be as extreme or harsh, or it's just tempered. Once you let God into those places, once you let the Holy Spirit in there and guiding you and help you and heal you, it's not going to be through the lens. It's not going to be through the same lens that you're seeing that specific thing anymore. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we go to scripture, this is one of my favorite ways of describing it from scripture, because that's really such a source of healing. But if you think about the Good Shepherd and how it says in Matthew, he leaves the 99 to get the one, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if we think about it like this, think about yourself, your true self, your whole self as the 99. And you can think about part of yourself who is hurt and maybe wounded, right? As mm-hmm. the one that has walked away, the one who has been left behind, the one who is hurt and doesn't know how to come back. Because when we are wounded, right, especially mm-hmm. as children, we get a little disintegrated from ourself. So it's almost like we have a little lamb out there, a little part mm-hmm. of us, a little lamb that has gone astray. And when we allow God, we invite him to go and bring that little lamb back, integrating us back into the fold, we are more whole and more able to give ourselves back to him, because ultimately that's our purpose. Does that make sense? Like this whole idea of like a little lamb that needs to be brought back. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. There are just, I think there are such different parts and levels in all of us that we have wounds and that we need healing in different ages in our life of different things that have happened. Mm-hmm. And so many people are so fearful of even going back there. They just want to look forward. They don't want to deal with it. They just want to stuff it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people even realize how much they're actually living out of their own wounds, and their own wounds and the insecurity of those wounds control so many of the situations in their lives. Mm-hmm. Right. And it controls even how they parent, what kind of spouse they are, even different choices that they make in their jobs, just where they feel a comfort or where they they just avoid certain things because of the discomfort that they feel, maybe because of wounds that they have had in their past. And I've even experienced that myself because of the wounds that I've had in the past, and the healing process that I had to undergo just brought so many things up that, one, I didn't want to face. And also that in the moment where I found like the deepest wound that I had as a child that I completely just blacked out on, right? In that moment, when I found all of that out, when that I was molested as a child by a family member and the things that had happened to me, I made so much sense to myself why I was doing certain things, why I loved the way I loved, or why I didn't like to be just hugged, or just whatever it was that would trigger certain responses in me. I just made so much sense to myself finally in that moment. But it took me to go to those deep places that I went, and I allowed Jesus to take me there, because I honestly don't think I could have handled all of that without his grace and without his mercy. Mm-hmm. And he got me through that and healed me. And just that anger, or how I felt dirty, or just, it was just so much. And the shame that came along with that, it was almost unbearable. But with that being said, and I've gone through that healing process, and I've gone over that Mount Everest, right? Mm-hmm. I can honestly say I'm not ashamed, because that's healed in me. I'm not ashamed. And God has brought that mercy and his love and strength in me in that part of my life where I had such a wound and I was so weak and it was bringing me down. The flip side of that is the strength and the courage, and I feel so loved and at peace about my past now that I didn't have before. And even family members that I'm at peace with, and I no longer have this anger and this rage and this, you know, where a lot of that was coming from. And so just to encourage anyone out there listening that can relate to anything that we're talking about, just do not be afraid. And that maybe this is an invitation for you to go to Jesus, go to adoration or in prayer, and just talk to him about those places in your life that you need healing. And I just think there are so many people out there wounded and handicapped themselves because they haven't found that healing yet. Right. And they're living out of those wounds. And am I 1,100% healed? No, because I honestly think it's a process and it's a journey. Right. And you go through peaks and you go through valleys. But wow, coming out of that healing process, I'm absolutely stronger woman for it. Do you find the same thing, Melissa, that it's hard and women hesitate to do this? But once they do it, it's like you shed that old person, right? And you're this new creation. Do you find that a lot of women are actually going through instead of just avoiding, but once they go through, they're stronger for it?
You know, I just want to tell you what I'm experiencing as you're talking, Crystalina, and that is that I'm so proud of you, because to choose to cooperate with the courage that God gave you to do that is admirable. And, you know, you telling your story and sharing how God has loved you in those places is powerful. And we need, women and men need to hear how gentle God is with our hurt parts, and that he knows exactly how we were made, and he knows exactly how we were hurt, and he takes the utmost care in bandaging our wounds and making sure that we know that we were loved even during when it was happening. You know what I mean? And so it takes courage. It takes courage.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
It's like a holy courage he gives you. It's not just courage. It's really this holy courage. It's a grace that God really gives, because it's not something that someone can do by themselves. Because I tried. I really did, Melissa. Yeah. I tried, because in marriage, and I was struggling so much. And I talk about this at my speaking engagements that, you know, I was having such a hard time, and I kept trying to figure it out on my own. right? Mm-hmm. When, every time. And in anything, when you're doing something without Jesus, you always end up just falling on your face, right? And it never works out. All of my life, it just doesn't work out. But when you do it with the grace of God and you do it hand in hand with Jesus, you're victorious if you follow through with him. You're always victorious at the end. And you literally can heal that part and become a completely different person. Because as I sit here and I talk about this, I feel like I'm talking about a completely different person, right?
It does but feel that way. Yeah.
You cannot, you literally cannot do this by yourself, but you have to have people around you and surround yourself with those that you trust, that you know love you, and that is safe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if we were to back up even one more step, and actually it's the ultimate step to begin and end with, which is many of us don't know who God is. So to think that you can go to God and expose to him the things that are hurting and we don't maybe trust him. I've worked with many people who really didn't understand who God was. And so to start at a spot where, oh, okay, we're just going to go and heal. We're going to take you there because I trust him. He usually, what he does is he wins people over with who he is first. So rarely in healing ministry, which is where I spend the majority of my time, he rarely ever starts at a really deep wound. What he does do is he begins very slowly by building a relationship to help them to see who he really is. And by doing so, he breaks down some walls and builds some trust so that people can open up little bits and little bits and little bits at a time. That's why it's a journey. That's why it takes a while. It's not so much, I mean, this is a relationship that you're building. So it takes a while because he loves to start at the beginning and he loves to tell you from the beginning who you are to him. And as he does that, that's what the healing process is. To me, if I were to say to you what I think healing is, it's when you realize, when you have experienced that God has loved you already. That's the healing experience. Because Jesus went on the cross, he became sin. Like he took on every sin that affected us and wounded us, right? He has mm-hmm. taken it on and redeemed it. Mm-hmm. He has already done the hard work in that sense. He took it all yes. on and he's already healed it. We just were never taught how to receive what he has already done for us. So the healing process is not him doing it. You're not being healed in a sense. You already have been. What he's doing is he allows you to have the experience of being loved by him. That builds the relationship. That's the whole point about him creating us and him being our creator, and that he wants to be in relationship with us, and that's how he shows us. Does that make sense? Or would you say
no? It makes total sense. And also, I would like to add to that, because it's hard to let Jesus love you when you're yeah. wounded and you're broken and you don't feel, at least I didn't feel worthy. And I also felt like he didn't want me. Why would he want me? You know, like, mm-hmm. why would Jesus want me? And why would he want to love me? You know, like, whatever. And I just wanted to just avoid going to church and avoid anything that honestly had to do with him back when I was in high school, you know, but I was living such a horrible life and I was disgusted with myself that it's like, how could I even put myself in front of him? You know, I hated myself. Like, I can't even imagine what God thought of me, you know, and it wasn't until I learned that that's where he actually wanted to love me, is in those wounds. He wanted to see me exactly where I was at. And I think a lot of people, and maybe I'm wrong in this, don't think that God can love them until they're perfect. That was my misconception. That was my lie that I was living, that it's when I'm perfect and I'm like a saint and pristine and holy is when God can really love me, but not until then, right? I don't deserve his love. But it was actually the opposite. It was when I let him into my wounds and my yuck and my ugly and that weakness and that filth I was feeling, that he really could love me, that I really experienced his love for me. Because a lot of the times you just want to kind of want to push it away, right? Because you don't want anyone there. It's just like, get away, don't see, just no, and you want to hide. Mm-hmm. But it's really in that wound, because that's a real relationship. How are you going to have a real relationship with your husband if you don't just let him see all of you, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, those are real relationships. And if we think we only give God the good and he's not seeing the bad, how is that a real relationship? You know, mm-hmm, you want to give everything to him, the joys, the sadness, the ups, the downs. Like, he's got to be in there in all of it. You know, it's not piecemealing a relationship with God, but it's embracing all of you and all your wounds and all of your hurts and giving that over to him. And then God kind of just working it out with you together. Right. And that's the source of the strength. At least that's what it's been in my life. And adoration was and has been everything for me. I feel like it transformed me as a woman, especially during my healing process. And it helped me so much that I look back on that time that there's no way I could have done it without Jesus hand in hand. And I would go to counseling and then I would go straight to adoration right after. And I would take my journal and I would just bawl sometimes in the back, hoping those little women didn't hear me, you know, in a corner.
You know, they were praying for you.
I know. That's what's amazing. Like, you, I remember one time she's like, honey, are you okay? I'm praying for you. You know, like, they're just so sweet, God's little ones. But I was there, and there are times I went in there mad. Like, you're kidding me, you know? I went in there with such a range of emotions, but that's what he wants, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect, and nobody's perfect all the time. It's just, that's not reality. But we can bring God into our lives and let him see those parts of us that we hide from the rest of the world. And we don't have to show the rest of the world those parts of us. Sometimes those things are for Jesus, and that's okay, right?
Well, you'd be surprised to know that even I have a retreat called Be Loved, and I've even had atheists come to that retreat, total atheists.
Wow.
And so the reason why I bring that up is that you don't even need to have a relationship with God in order for him to begin to draw you closer to him. So sometimes for those people who, especially who are listening, who know, who have family members who may be falling into this group of people, but that don't even know how to approach God because of what you said. Maybe they didn't have a relationship with him before. So one of the things that is very important is the ability to build a community of people who are loving and non-judgmental and confidential, that can or can't be in a counseling environment, you know, because my healing, I did go to counseling, but that really was not where the majority of my healing came from. Mine came from working one-on-one with healing ministers who attended to me in a confidential, non-judgmental environment where I felt safe just to say it. Even when I wasn't so sure God was going to accept me, funny enough, I had some kind of confidence that I could say it to them.
Oh, and absolutely. And you need that safe environment to do it. Yes.
Yeah, you
need that
really
safe
do.
Environment to do it. We're going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back with Melissa Foley. Stay tuned. Welcome back. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and this is Women Made New. We are here with our guest, Melissa Foley, and we were talking about just that safe place that you feel like you have to have. And honestly, I feel like it's just imperative. It's so important when you're wanting to just touch on those things that maybe in your past that you just don't want to deal with or shove down, or those wounds that you have, that you really create a safe environment to do that. If it's in therapy or if you're at home with someone that you trust, whatever it is. But Melissa, can you please just touch more on that?
So having, for me personally, having people who were working in healing ministry with me, creating an environment where I knew that I had a confidence that they were going to do a few things, that they were not going to judge what I was going to say. And part of that was because, in a sense, they had heard it all. It was their ministry. It was something that they're committed to. They had heard so much. And every one of the encounters I ever had with them, they never divulged anything to me about anyone else. You know what I mean? It was I was so confident that what I had to say wasn't going to shock them, that what I had to say was going to be confidential. And it made me feel loved. And I had to start in that loving place in order to be able to invite Jesus into those spots that I didn't even want to go to, let alone having him come into it. You know what I mean? But what happened was in that process, ultimately, what healing does is it restores a deeper relationship with God, for sure. And what that deepest relationship that you have is always how God the Father sees you. That's the deepest relationship that you have, that you are a beloved daughter of a loving Father, that your identity becomes rock solid, right, in your foundation, so that when things happen to you, when people say things about you, when life goes off the rails, it doesn't, you're not riding this wave, right? Like a roller coaster. When good things happen, I'm way up here. And when bad things happen, I hit rock bottom. Instead, when we live out of our identity, we still have bumps in the road. Okay. That's life, but they're not as dramatic because you know, I can rely that I have a big daddy. And he has big shoulders and he's going to provide for me and he's got my back. And, but that's the foundation that we build. In fact, we have, these four, I call them our four R knots, and these R knots will help you, to remember who you are. Okay. When these happen.
So I love these. And this? Ladies, okay. If you can remember my Women Made New ladies, she did this, I think, on the first episode of the television series, The Four R Knots. And there was, I got just a ton of response from that. So I'm so glad she's bringing it up again, but they'll be familiar to you if you can remember.
Yes. So I'll have them on my website too. You can download a piece. You can download a paper that has this on here and you can put it on your refrigerator.
Oh, great. It would be good too.
All right. So here are the R knots. You are not what you do. You're not what you do. That we could spend an entire show on talking about how much we connect our identity with what we do because of our culture, because of, you know, our fallen nature, you name it. But you're not, we can't be what we do. We literally cannot be what we do because what we do can be taken away at any moment. So for example, I'll give you an example. I was working with a teenage girl one time. I was praying with her and she told me that I had asked her, we were praying and I had asked her where Jesus was in her prayer. And she said, he's way over there, extending her arm out, right? And I said, well, why is he over there? Because God will be exactly where you allow him to be. So I knew that she was keeping him way over there for a reason, right? So I say to her, why are you keeping God all the way over there? And she said, because if he comes close to me, he will see what a mess I am.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, you know, kind of cracking up, like as if he doesn't see what a mess you are.
Just at a distance, right?
Oh, he can see you all right. No. Okay. So I said, okay, well, what would happen if he could see what a mess you are? And she said, he won't love me as much. And I was like, okay, do you mean that God loves you less when you do bad things and he loves you more when you do good things? And so confidently, Crystalina, she's like, yes, that's exactly how God loves. And I was like, oh, hold up, sister. That is not the case at all. That's something that you maybe picked up from humans and how human beings love. But God the Father does not love you that way. He's all in no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, if you want to get some moms real excited, is talk about this part. This is probably the most difficult or not to wrap your brain around and wrap your heart around, because we're so conditioned to this. I was telling some moms recently too this, and they were like, wait a second. If she does something bad, she needs to be punished for it, you know? I'm like, well, yes, right? There's consequences to everything, but that doesn't change God's love for her, for your daughter, or your love for your daughter, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's deep. It runs real deep. So maybe next time we can just talk about this one. Okay. Number two, the second are nots is you are not what you have. Mm-hmm. Also, right? What you have can absolutely be taken away, that we can't be defined by what we have. We are a beautiful daughter of a loving father. That's who we are, right? That's our deepest identity. It can't be what we have. Number three, you are not what people say or think about you. You're not what people say or think about you. That's not your deepest identity, because guess what? They can be wrong. And it, funny enough, this also goes the other way, like with positive things too. People can say very positive and very good things about you, but if it's not according to what God says about you, that's kind of your litmus test. Would God the Father say or think this about me? If it's yes, then accept it. You know, receive that gift of affirmation and love. If it's not, let it go. That's not part of your identity.
I think so many people live out of that right there. I mean, everything else you said as well, but what people say, or maybe just for me, just because I went through when I was a child, right? That what people are saying, and well, just especially in high school, I mean, wow, you just get eaten alive by the comments that people make, or what does she think about me? Or just, you know, there's so many insecurities that's a really huge problem. And I think especially with teens, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, many, many parents, I meet many parents who initially come to me and say, I need you to fix my kid. That's actually the number one request that I get. I need you to help my kid, you know? And funny enough, I'm happy to work with young people, but honestly, it's working with the parents. Because when the parent have their identity really straight, when the parents have it straight, it flows over to the kids. So when the kids are going over in their mind and defining themselves by what people say about them, the parent, it really is a tremendous voice for the child to correct that, right? To be the one to tell them from when they're really young, really little. Having the are nots as part of your family life. It's part of your family culture so that they can, this is a long game right here. This you are nots. These are building skills in your child for a very long time, setting them up, right? Because you can imagine.
You know what? I'm going to print this out. Oh yes, ladies, I'm serious. I'm not even joking. You need to print this out. I know for sure. I'm going to print this out today, and I'm going to put that right on my kitchen. I don't know, maybe refrigerator. I'm going to frame it, and I'm just going to go through at dinner time tonight and that's be like, right. Look, little Everts, this is what's going down from now on in our household. Because it's so true. Because these are things from such a small age all the way up, even to now, that I think everybody just struggles with in their own humanness, huh?
For sure. And you hear it when you listen to your family dynamics, how they talk about themselves, how they talk about each other, how maybe your husband picks up things from work. You can start to hear the lies brewing about who they think they are. And when you develop a culture in your family of identity culture that says, no, you are beloved daughter, your daughter or your son has the ability to talk themselves through a horrible Instagram post. You know what I mean? Where all of a sudden they see it and then they're like, okay, what's the truth, right? It's really training and forming them to have a skill about telling themselves the truth about who they are, right?
Yes. And they'll recognize the lie when they see it or hear it, yes, or it's being put on them. So I think that's absolutely phenomenal. Yes.
Even my son is almost 23. Even my son will say, Mom, I think I just heard you tell yourself a lie. And I'm like, oh, I did, you know, but it's part of our culture is holding each other accountable about the truth, yes, about who we are. Right. Okay. And then the last are not. Okay. So it goes like this. You're not what you do. You're not what you have. You're not what people say or think about you. And finally, you're not how you feel. You're not how you feel. This is another one that really happens to hit home for teenagers, but because their feelings can be so strong. But, you know, how we use words to describe how we're feeling is really important. So whatever I am statements that you make, we have to be really careful. Another part of family culture is the siblings. When siblings tell each other, you are. Whatever you are statements, you are stupid. You are annoying. You are, right? I'm sure it's not just in my house.
But we have to be, right?
Like really careful about those you are statements because that cuts deep. But so having this, you're not how you feel. So you can differentiate between I am depressed as a definition of your identity versus I feel depressed, right? Or whatever, you fill in the blank for how you feel.
Yes.
But feelings, and I'm not talking about clinical, I'm just talking about feelings that come and go. They come and go. We can experience them. There's good reasons that we have feelings. But they come and they go. So we can't base our identity on how we feel because it changes and your identity never changes. You are a beloved daughter of a loving father. And that's the deepest truth about who you are.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely phenomenal. I will be bringing this into my home this evening. like, where'd you get this, Mom? Mom's bringing these things, you know? No, it's great. It'll be fun. It'll be a good dinner tonight. That's for sure. It'll be wonderful. Okay, so I want some really just something good and concrete that women can take today that they can use and just utilize in their lives when they're having that hard time or that struggle or they feel that just bubbling up and just, you know, because we don't want to be a ragdoll to our emotions, you know, and I have felt that in my past and it's horrible. So what is something that we can do?
I would make my suggestions based on you as a person, right? So I know that you have a very strong relationship with God. So I would start there. And there are techniques that are used, especially in healing ministry, that can help you reconnect with God and get yourself filled up with the Holy Spirit and get your get the language that you use to talk to yourself right. So one of the things that you mentioned was self-knowledge. Like you started to know yourself better. Remember you said that?
Oh, absolutely.
You said I started to know
my self-talk better. Changed as well. Once I got to know myself better where things were coming, the self-talk also started changing. I still have to catch myself. Yeah. And especially when I'm around my daughter or my kids and just like, whoa, no, that's not how we talk to ourselves, you know, but it's just the self-talk on a daily basis that you really have to change and catch yourself, right?
Yes. And part of that process is understanding, becoming aware of how you even talk to yourself. There's a level of awareness. It's a first level is taking note. How do I talk to myself? What are the lies that I tell myself about who I am? Writing those down and journaling. I'm a really big fan of journaling. I don't know if you are too, but journaling, these are the lies that I told myself today, right? Mm-hmm. And asking God to verify the truth about who you are based in scripture. I have another document on my website that I'll put up there that's all about your true worth. And it uses scripture to counteract some lies that you might be telling yourself. So you can look through the scripture and say, oh, okay, if I tell myself, I can't do this anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever this might be. I can't do this anymore. Then identifying a scripture that says, well, I can do all things in Christ, like who strengthens me. And because scripture, it's not just words. There's power behind the word of God to combat these lies. There's a whole nother topic we could talk about is lies and how we, how the enemy utilizes those. But when you're having a really bad day, practically speaking, know yourself. What are the lies you're telling yourself? Go down, sit down and ask God, what's the truth? What's the truth? What's the truth? I'm not telling myself the truth right now. You know that you're not living in your true self because your true self was made in the image and likeness of God. So your true self is peaceful. It's generous. It's patient. It's kind. You were made in the Father's image. So when you're anxious, irritable, impatient, right? Flying off the handle. You know that you're not living according to who God made you to be. It's just another opportunity for God to say, hey, you can come back to me now. Hey, let's live in your true self. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And when I was talking to some of my girlfriends, we were all together. It was interesting that the devil was telling all of us the same exact lie. That I, especially in pregnancy. No, that's the thing. We are talking about just how hard it is. I have 8 children. She had 9 children and I was pregnant with my 10th. And it was just so much. There was just so much going on in that time in my life. And I remember I kept hearing myself say, this is so much. This is too hard. This is too much. It's too much. It's too much. Right. And, I shouldn't have to do this or I shouldn't have to do that. And just going just to my, you know, just frustrated with the situation at times, which everybody gets frustrated with their situation in different ways. But my girlfriend says, wait, I say that exact same thing. And then my other girlfriend said, I was just thinking that the other day, like I shouldn't have to do this, or this is just too much, or it's too hard, when it's not, it's really not. It's just, you're having a weak moment, but God will give you the grace if you just ask him. But I think sometimes you just, again, you're just become this ragdoll to your emotions and you give into it and you give into that lie that you forget to call on Jesus and you entertain the lie more. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it affects what you're doing in that moment. And so when I came home and I came back to the crazy of the Everett household, you know, and I heard myself saying, or was thinking to myself, oh, this is too much, or it's so much, right? All of a sudden I stopped myself and I thought, no, it's not. This is not too much for me, that God gave this to me specifically, and I can do this with him. I'm like, mm-hmm. Jesus, we're going to do this. Like, I came out of the laundry room like, I'm doing this right now.
I'm doing this right now. Like,
you know, yeah. It's just that mind change and just not letting those lies penetrate me and just not giving way to them, you know? And I think that really takes, it takes a little bit of discipline, but when it comes at you, just know Jesus gave me this. And if he wants to take it away, he's going to take it away. But he gave me this in the moment and he's going to give me the strength to go through it and to handle it with him. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget to ask for help in those hard moments because we're so focused on whatever it is I'm mad at or whatever it is my kids are doing or how much they keep fighting or the mess in the laundry room or whatever it is. I forget sometimes to ask Jesus for the grace in that moment instead of giving into the anger. Right.
Yeah, you said a really key word and you use the word should. And that word is actually banned from my personal vocabulary. I might want to offer a suggestion. You ban that word completely.
Oh, explain, emphasize on that.
Should. Because you're just, what that word does and the concept is just put you in this place of judging what God is deeming, right? So what you're saying is, it shouldn't be this way. And God's like, but
yes, it should. Yes.
It is. So, yes. Right. So you're judging it to be something that is not supposed, right. That's not supposed to be a way. When it is clearly, what God is allowing in your life right now. So it's kind of allows you by getting that word out of your system. it allows you a little bit more to align yourself with what he is doing, what is happening. It allows you to be more present with God.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Oh, we've run out of time, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining
You're
me today.
Welcome. Thank
I think
you.
The women, and I know I specifically have benefited a lot from this conversation, but thank you and God bless you and your ministry. And I will put up her information on my website, and yeah, we look forward to seeing you again. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wow, what a blessing Melissa Foley is to me, and I'm sure to a lot of you at home that could really resonate with what she was saying. And some of those things she was saying and talking about, even that printout, I'm definitely going to go do that when I'm finished here, and that will be a thing in the Everett household. I'm excited to do that. And if you want more information, again, from Melissa Foley, you can go to her website, lovedalready.com. And for those of you that, again, want to find a therapist near you, or just you want to start your healing process, you can go to my website, womenmadenew.com, and click on websites, and under there is a box for healing. And if you click on that, you can find a therapist closest to you, a good Catholic solid therapist. You just have to put in your zip code and they will just pop up. And I'm sure God will guide and lead you to exactly where he wants you to be. Just say a little prayer and you just never know what it is he's trying to do in your life, and just accept that invitation if he's calling you to that. Also, if you want to find some excellent Catholic resources, you can go to EWTN.com, and there are prayers. There's excellent Catholic television you can watch. You can watch the Mass. You can pray the Rosary. There's also prayers on there. If you're looking for a specific prayer, just the whole gamut of just everything Catholic is on EWTN.com's website. So I invite you to go there as well. And I just want to thank you for joining me once again here at Women Made New. And know all of you are in my prayers and your intentions. And if you could please keep me and my family in yours, it really, I know, fuels our ministry. And just your support in those prayers is a huge strength for us as well. I just know I'm praying for you. So until next time, God bless.
A prayer for religious liberty.
O God, our Creator, from your provident hand we have received our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have called us as your people and given us the right and the duty to worship you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the power and working of your Holy Spirit, you call us to live out our faith in the midst of the world, bringing the light and the saving truth of the gospel to every corner of society. We ask you to bless us in our vigilance for the gift of religious liberty. Give us the strength of mind and heart to readily defend our freedoms when they are threatened. Give us courage in making our voices heard on behalf of the rights of your church and the freedom of conscience of all people of faith. Grant, we pray, O Heavenly Father, a clear and united voice to all your sons and daughters gathered in your church in this decisive hour in the history of our nation, so that with every trial withstood and every danger overcome, for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, and all who come after us, this great land will always be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.